Will you join me in this litany of praise? Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits.
The Lord forgives all our iniquity and heals all our diseases.
The Lord redeems our lives from the pit and crowns us with steadfast love and mercy.
God satisfies us with good as long as we live, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles.
Sing with us number 145, please. Morning has broken.
Praise for the sea. like the first to fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one life, cadence of play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of this new day.
Amen. Let's remain standing as we stand firm in our faith by saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty.
From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And it's a joy to welcome Miss Terry and the children for children's time.
That's all you got. That's all right. That's all right. That's good. Good morning again. Do you see what this is? It's not a Bible, it's a book, and it says the Book of Prayers. What's prayer? Do you know? Yeah, you bow your heads and fold your hands. We pray definitely when we do what? What do we do? What do we always do when we get ready to eat? I'm almost afraid to stick this down here. No, what do we do before we eat? We do a prayer, right? We thank God for our food, don't we? Yeah. Prayer is just talking to God. Just like you and I have a conversation, you can have that kind of conversation with God. And you know what God says? What Jesus said? He said in Matthew chapter 7 that if you have faith, which means if you believe that it's going to happen, all you have to do is to ask and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. God says we should pray, and he did a model prayer that we'll do in just a few minutes. And he said that we praise God, we thank him for everything that he's done. We also should pray for other people, shouldn't we? And one of the things that we have a tendency to, that we want to pray for, not tendency, but one of the important things is to pray for each other as a church and as a family. We pray for healing, and that's what our pastor is going to be talking about today. So I'm going to share a prayer with you, and I want you to listen very closely, okay? You want to pray with me? Almighty God, who didst send thy Son, Jesus Christ, to be the great physician of our souls and our bodies, grant us thy peace. Thou who givest rest to those who wait upon thee, grant us thy courage. In the quietness and confidence, may we find strength. We give ourselves into thy sustaining presence knowing that in thee is our peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So let's remember to pray for each other, okay? All right?
Thank you, Miss Terry. And as we gather in this time of prayer now, let us focus specifically on healing. What in your bodies, your minds, your souls do you want to ask healing for? What healing of broken relationships in this church or in this community do you want to ask healing for? Is there anything that you want to ask healing for this morning out loud?
Struggle with this issue that she has with the cancer. She's missed about 8 treatments to date. It's a struggle. It's a struggle for me as well, and I need your prayers. If you've ever prayed, put her into prayers, please.
Carson. Illnesses, despair, depression, all these things that cause suffering also cause isolation. And so what happens when we dare to speak out loud that which we want healing for, it suddenly breaks us out of that isolation. It brings us back together as community, not just any community, but a community bound in love for each other through Jesus Christ. So let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, who can banish all affliction, both of soul and body, show forth your power upon those in need, especially Alice and Larry, who cares for Alice, for Carson, for Wilma and Hubert, for broken relationships with family. By your mercy, restore all of these and all that we pray for silently, that we may enjoy you and experience the joy of a relationship with you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Send your healing power to all among us who suffer from the pain of broken relationships, of separation or divorce, where there is hurt and bitterness. Grant healing of memories and replace feelings of despair or worthlessness with hope and confidence that you are the God of new things. Grant healing for any children of divorce, forgiveness and healings of past hurts, that new life may be knit together. Holy Comforter, send your healing power to those who suffer the grief of losing loved ones to death. Lord, we do not understand the mysteries of life and death. We only know that death is what makes our loves in life so dear and precious. Comfort all who mourn and exchange for them a garland of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning and grieving, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. God of mercy, give your strength to your children who are bound by the chains of addiction. Enfold them in your love and restore to them the freedom and wholeness you intend for them. Look with compassion on all who have lost their health and freedom to drugs, to alcohol, to tobacco, to porn, to anything that keeps us in a jail of our own making. Strengthen us all in the work of recovery and deliver us all from that which would threaten to destroy us and our relationship with you and one another. Great physician, we lift to you those who live with the disappointment, the frustration, and the chronic pain of ongoing illness. Touch these persons with the hem of your garment. Renew their spirits, even when bodies cannot be renewed, that they may know the depth of your love for them. Gracious and merciful God, we ask all of these prayers in the name of your Son, our Savior, our friend, our Comforter, our Redeemer, our great physician, Jesus Christ, as we join our hearts and voices and prayers into one heart, one voice, and one prayer, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward, I want to tell you about one of the things that your offerings help support. There is a storefront ministry in Kingsport, Tennessee called Shades of Grace, and it is led by a minister named Will Shuey, and if you are on Facebook, I hope you will look it up. The conference pays Will's salary so that he can be present to those who would find it very difficult or impossible to walk into a regular church on a Sunday morning. And in Shades of Grace, he ministers to homeless people, to the addicted, to the poor, the family, those with no family. He offers a sense of belonging, and that's because of you. Because we are United Methodists and we are connectional, and we give not only to this church and this community, but to this region, so that Shades of Grace can be in ministry. So I thank you, and I pray, gracious God, thank you for these your servants who offer their gifts to you. Bless them that they truly could be a blessing for others. In Christ's name, amen. Please remain standing as we sing together this hymn. I want to ask Clayton if I could bid the hymn, because never underestimate the power of hearing something in a new and fresh way. If it were not for this song, I literally wouldn't exist, because my grandfather grew up in Italy and heard only worship in Latin, not in Italian. So he didn't really understand what was going on. And when he was a young, like 16-year-old in the army, he heard this song sung in Italian. And he had a heartwarming experience and then ended up coming to this country to go to seminary and gave his life to the Lord. So I just have to tell that story because this song is very, very special to me. Let us join together in singing, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior."
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
It is well. It is well. It is well.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from James again. We're wrapping up our time with the letter of James in chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Healing Lord, inhabit these words with your Holy Spirit. Inhabit our prayers with your prayers that intercede for us. Inhabit our praise in all things. In this time, I ask that your Holy Spirit mingle between my lips and your hearers' ears, so they hear you, are touched by you. Speak through me, and if not through me, speak in spite of me. But let your word be heard and proclaimed, your presence felt and experienced. Through Christ I ask this. Amen. So there's a lot of science now that kind of talks about how the body knows. There are books about holistic healing. I remember growing up, my mom had this book about how, like, if you had a stomach issue, it wasn't necessarily, but one of the things it could have been was due to some stress in your life. Asthma was related to having anger, unresolved anger. Our spirits and bodies are wise. They have wisdom. So the idea that healing comes in many ways beyond our understanding makes sense. We don't have to understand something in order for it to be true. I remember in my very first appointment out of seminary, I had gone from being a seminary student in Durham, North Carolina, to a pastor of 5 small churches in the southwest corner of Virginia near Withville. And oh boy, was I in over my head. I, you know, had to be a translator. I was from the north. I was a, you know what, Yankee. I was a woman. I was the first woman they had had. Oh yeah, and I was part of a clergy couple, so I didn't live in their parsonage. So I was so overwhelmed. And I remember meeting, I had to run every week to the district office, which was about 30 minutes away, to run my bulletins because the church didn't have a thing to make bulletins. So I remember seeing a sign at the Episcopal Church that they had a noonday service of healing. So me and about 7 old ladies and the priest would go for just this very short, you know, 10-minute, 15-minute service of healing. And I remember getting up from kneeling and receiving anointing with oil and thinking, well, I don't know what or how, but I know that somehow and in some way God has worked in me and on me. That's a nebulous definition of healing. But healing is different from being cured. Hands get cured. Physical bodies can get cured. But the whole of us is more than just our physical bodies. We don't have to understand it, but it is true that the Bible suggests that there's more to healing than what meets the eye or our physical bodies. James even suggests that there's a link between confession and healing. And that confession, you know, we have to remember, okay, how we define sin is really, really important here. Because the definition of sin for us, the people of God, is that which separates us from God. And also, therefore, from each other, because we represent God for each other in Christian community, right? So, and the worst thing that can happen, there are things worse than death, worse than physical suffering. The thing worse than those things is eternal separation from God. Eternal separation. So sin is that which separates us from God. So we have to remember that it's not about a list of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. It's about taking an inventory of our life, according to James in the Bible, about confessing what's separating me from my brothers and sisters, what's separating me from God, and confessing that so that healing might take place. James is really good at holding two ideas in tension. We've seen that throughout these weeks where he talked about the tongue, one week can be full of poison, and then the next week we talked about the tongue can be full of praise. Words can do harm and words can heal. And now in this scripture, he talks about two more ideas that he holds in tension: the importance of individual faith and the importance of being part of a community of faith. It's important, especially for us as citizens of the United States of America, because we have this, and it's a wonderful thing, you know, this Horatio Alger idea, the pull yourself up by your bootstraps idea. And certainly that has been true, although I don't think it's as it's true now as it was at one time. But Americans primarily view the world from this individual perspective. It's kind of the way of our culture, as opposed to a more tribal, family-oriented culture, a group or community culture. It takes a village culture. We have self-help books that tell me I can do it on my own without the help of community, and social media, which reduces friendships to a series of clicks. And many people like to interpret the Bible from that individual perspective. What's this mean for me as an individual? And that's certainly one of the gifts of going to Scripture, but it doesn't stop there. Individual growth and guidance is something we receive from the gift of Scripture, but it's not supposed to end there. We're always supposed to move out from me to we. And so, for example, when James refers to temptation, we think about the individual, personal temptations that we face. Please don't put a box of donuts in front of me or carrot cake. That's a huge temptation for me as an individual. James cares about those, but he also makes a point to talk about how churches are tempted. Remember when we talked about how he was admonishing the church to not differentiate between class or economic status, wealthy or over the poor. He wants us to be doers of the word and not just hearers. And we forget that he not only means me as an individual, but us, we as a community. And he calls us to collectively care for each other and those outside of our group who can't care for themselves. So once we consider both sides of that tension that James is offering up for us to consider, that tension between individual faith and my faith within community, the entire book of James takes on a whole new meaning. Christian faith is about how I live out my faith and how we collectively live out our faith. And faithful people offer support and accountability to one another. Quite literally, I cannot be a Christian on my own. I cannot become a Christian without the community of faith sharing their stories of struggle and how Jesus has helped them. Without somebody sharing a Bible with me, and in my case, it was something other than the King James. I remember, you know, my dad was a pastor, okay? I grew up in church, but the only Bible laying around the house was a King James version. So I'm about 11 years old, and I pick it up and I open it up, and it's like, I don't know anybody who talks like this, and I don't understand what this is saying. And I made a decision when I was 11 that the Bible must be only meant for certain people to understand it, and I'm not one of those people. Now, you may all be nodding, going, yeah, and she still doesn't, but anyway, I try. The community teaches me how to think about God and my relationship with Jesus. The community shows me by loving me about God's love and what that means for me. The community molds my views, helps me to think about ethical situations in the world. The community encourages me when I'm down, utilizes my gifts in conjunction with their gifts. The community together helps us all be Christians. So we have to understand this collective nature of faith, to understand what we talk when we talk about sin and restoration and redemption. James assumes that people and institutions can get out of alignment with God, so we have to be brought back in. We have to do that for each other. He says, "My brothers and sisters, if any among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know, oh, whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." I need faithful people to point out my sin. Be kind, please. Be gentle. And show me a path to reconciliation, to teach me about forgiveness. And as much as we love our individualism, the biblical assumption is that nobody's a Christian on their own. So both the individual faith and the communal faith are valid and important. But this last chapter of James ups the ante on that importance of being part of a Christian community and God's expectations and vision for the church. If you were sick, call for somebody in the community to anoint you and pray for you. If you're suffering, confess to each other so that you can be made whole. James's words are a reminder to us that as Christians, we do counter the culture and that community is first and not individualism. For James, it matters that we're all made whole, that we're not isolated. James believes that the presence of a loving, caring community around us makes all the difference in the world for us. Prayers and anointing for healing is just another one of those early church practices, like communion, like confessing sins, like praying for each other. Where sometimes we as modern Christians struggle. We tend to think of doctors and hospitals, of medicine and surgery, and those are the realm of healing. But I'll tell you, I remember when I was doing my, I had to do a chaplaincy rotation in a hospital as a part of seminary. And it was where the head of the chaplains for that large hospital said to us, the doctors and the nurses think this is their territory, but I am here to tell you this is our territory, because this is God's territory, and God is the source and the originator of all healing. I have never forgotten that. You know, from the perspective of medicine, medical anthropology, curing takes place when some biomedical change takes place. Healing takes place when the one who seeks the healing says it does. You can be messed up in your body, but healed in your soul. James is highlighting that healing must extend beyond the body. And yes, I pray for healing. I pray for physical healing for people. But if one is not physically healed, I don't see it as a failure of how I prayed, and I hope you won't either. When we pray for healing, because when one of you is sick, we're all sick. When one of you suffers, we all suffer. It weakens the community. It's like my husband thinks he broke his toe a couple weeks ago going down the steps. His whole body hurt. It's all connected. If you hurt, I hurt. We're all connected. So what James does is he relocates prayers for healing and anointing. When we join in praying for the sick, we are all healed because we have joined with the one who suffers so that they are no longer isolated. Illness is reframed from that which afflicts me to that which afflicts we. Christians believe that the worst thing that can happen is eternal separation from God. That is the definition of hell. And sickness threatens that separation from God. It can make us lose our faith, and so we need the community. It can make us be isolated, and so we are separated from the community. And remember, the community is the manifestation of God. So when we lay hands on and anoint for healing, it is for the healing of the individual, yes, and it is to remind us that we join God's insistence that isolation is sin. No one should be or feel isolated, especially in their suffering. One of the most important effects of a healing service that involves the whole church, it's not just for the sick one, but it breaks the barriers of silence and isolation that illness often imposes on the sick and their families. So James was just trying to normalize this behavior, this odd, weird thing called laying on of hands and praying for one another and slopping some oil on their forehead. We need each other in order to be Christians. We need each other to have a place of loving connection and belonging and to thrive. There's so much more going on than the physical. God has a vision for caring community. And James is teaching us that we exercise care for each other when we use the resources God gave us, like this resource of oil, and like prayers for healing. Will you join me now as we bless this oil for the anointing of our bodies and souls? Let us pray. O God, the giver of health and salvation, we give thanks to you for the gift of oil. As your holy apostles anointed many who were sick and healed them, so pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on this gift, that those who in faith and repentance receive this anointing may be made whole through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to come as you feel led to receive a laying on of hands and a healing.
I will come to you in silence.
Amen.
I am eyes for all who long to see.
I lay my hands on you and those that you stand in the gap for, in the name of the Father and the Son.
You will hear my voice. I claim you as my choice. Be still and know I am here. I am hope for all who are hopeless.
I lay my hands on you that you may know the healing power of God's love for you. In the name of the
I am eyes for all who long to see.
I lay my hands on you that you may know the healing power
in the shadows
of, God's love for you.
In the name of the night, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I will be your light.
Nancy, I lay my hands on you that you
come
may know the healing power of God's love.
In me, do not be afraid. I am with you.
I'll lay my hands on you that you may know that
I have called you each by name. Come and follow me. I will bring you home. Strength for all the despairing, healing for the ones who dwell in shame.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
All the blind will see, the lame will all run free, and all will know my name. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me. I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. I love you and you are mine.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that we may be comforted in our suffering and made whole. When we are afraid, give us courage. When we feel weak, grant us your strength. When we are afflicted, give us endurance. When despairing, offer us hope. When we feel lonely, rush to our side. Amen.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again.
Yes.